Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
In today's globalized world, people are traveling more than ever. But how do you ensure that you have a great travel experience when you go to a place where you don't know the language? Is there any way to overcome the language barriers you are likely to encounter? In today's episode, Ethan will share a bit about his latest travel experience to Italy and give you valuable English tips for your next trip.
Oh yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
zany
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, riding the bus, backpacking across Europe or any other continent, or even
hiking.
I'm joined here in the global studio by the one, the only, most lekka teacher in all of South Africa, Kase.
Hey, Ethan. Hey, everyone.
So what does it mean to like overcome language barriers?
So language barriers are when there's a reason why two people cannot understand each other, and usually because they don't speak the same language.
So we'd often use that collocation to overcome a barrier of some sort. A language barrier, for example, means that you find a way to get around it, right? So that communication is not broken. All right. So it's before we get into today's main topic, all about English for travel, we have a kick-ass quote to share with y'all.
Yeah, so today's quote is, "Travel opens your heart, broadens your mind, and fills your life with stories to tell."
Ooh, that is a very true statement. I love that. What does it mean if something broadens your mind?
If something broadens your mind, it sort of expands your view and your perception, your understanding of something. So, for example, when we say that travel broadens your mind, it means that you start to understand the world better. You start to understand cultures and people better than you did before.
Most definitely. And I think the magical thing nowadays is, the last 20 years or so, maybe even less than that, that it's gotten so easy for us to connect with people digitally online. You don't even necessarily, maybe if you can't afford to travel, you don't even necessarily need to travel to have a very similar experience. You can jump on the Real Life English app or, join some sort of community where you're encountering people from all around the world. And you can take advantage of this as an opportunity to broaden your mind, to learn about other cultures, to ask people questions, to really understand their way of thinking, to be curious about different ways of doing things in different countries. So you don't even need to spend like a ton of money, flying halfway across the world to necessarily get those experiences, even though that is a very enriching experience if you can have it.
I haven't had that many opportunities to travel, but I do agree with that. I think that I've always sort of made that effort to learn about different cultures, by using language exchange apps or by just connecting with people on social media. So yeah, it's a very true point.
So today we're going to be talking all about this sort of thing. So we might as well jump into the main topic for the day.
All right. So Ethan, I'm so excited to ask you these questions because I haven't had the opportunity to actually, chat with you about your vacation. So now I'll get to hear all about it. Okay. So the first thing I want to ask you is, where in Italy did you go and why did you decide to go there?
So I went to Sicily, which if people don't know where that is, most people can imagine the map of Italy because it looks like a boot and it's a boot that's kicking an island. So Sicily is that island. And we went there. I actually had my mom and my aunt came from the States and we went there together because their great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather, like both of their fathers' ancestors, came originally from different parts of Sicily to the United States. So we kind of went to trace our roots. We had a general sense of where they came from. So we visited the city where one of my great-great-grandparents, something like that, was from, called Monreale, which is in the north of Sicily, near Palermo, which is the capital of Sicily. And it was a pretty cool experience getting to just see, you know, those kind of surroundings of where my ancestors, some of my ancestors came from.
Mm-hmm. You used the word trace your roots. What does it mean to trace? What does that word mean?
So that's a really interesting word, because it's like, maybe it's something artists will do, that they'll take a picture and you lay like a semi-transparent piece of material over it. And then like you trace it, you draw the outline, right, of the drawing or something like that. But when we use it in this figurative sense, like trace your roots, is it's kind of doing the same thing, but it's kind of trying to figure out, put together a picture of where you come from. And roots in this sense, it's like roots like a plant have, but we use this also figuratively to say your ancestors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're basically sort of like almost, like you said, you use the imagery of like drawing. So it's like drawing the line, connecting the line between you, yourself, or your family, and your ancestors. So like the now and the then.
Which I think is, obviously there's a very dark history of colonialism, but the bright side of that, I guess, if it can be called the bright side, very few people are just like one thing, you know, like, no, like, unless you're actually like Native American, for example, in the United States, mm-hmm. like someone who would come, descend from indigenous people there, you're not, you know, 100% American. Most people, they might have like, European roots, African roots, you know, Asian roots, like from anywhere really in the world. And so that's something very cool to kind of like learn about, is, you know, where did your ancestors come from, mm-hmm. and what was their life like? How did they get to the country?
Yeah. I know it's been quite trendy in recent years for people to trace their ancestry and do those DNA tests and like, oh, I'm 5% German or something like that. I think it is pretty cool.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, I'd love to do that too. It's really, really interesting to know where you actually come from.
Mm-hmm. I think when we were together in Brazil, I believe we watched a video that was actually from one of the companies that does this, right? Where they ask people, I think most of them, I think all of them, in fact, lived in the UK. And so they asked them, you know, like, what's your ancestry? Like, what do you descend from? And a lot of these people, they're very patriotic. They're very proud of their background, right? Like, there's one guy who's like, oh, you know, I'm 100% British and like, French people are the worst and stuff. And then like they like do these interviews with people, and then they do the DNA test and they show, okay, this is your like a map with where your ancestors came from. And there's like the guy who, for example, hates French people. He's something like 25% French, and he doesn't realize this. So I think that's a pretty broadening experience that you can have, because you don't, it kind of shows that we're all, you know, as humankind, we're all a family. Like, we all do come from a common root in the end.
Here in South Africa, for example, like, I, to be honest with you, I think most people don't know. The colonial past was really vast. Like, there were people from, you know, we had Portuguese, we had British, we had Dutch, we had people from all over Spain, we had people from all over coming here and, you know, settling down here in South Africa. So it's really difficult for people to really identify, you know, their roots, to trace those roots, because it's so mixed. And so I guess here people accept that idea of like, oh no, we're all the same. Let's not even go there. Let's bother with that. But yeah, anyway, it's a very interesting thing I'd love to do as well.
We'll have to make that happen. So we'll link that video as well, because you should really, all of you dear listeners, you should really check that out. So it'll be in the show notes, which you can find in the description of this episode, wherever you're listening. Mm-hmm.
Definitely do that. It's so worthwhile. So the next question I want to ask you is, what called your attention the most about the place as soon as you got there?
Well, I was the one driving. So I think the one thing was the crazy drivers. Is in the U.S., okay, in the U.S., there's bad drivers and stuff, but people tend to follow the rules for the most part. Here in Barcelona, where I live, a little bit less, but still people are pretty law-abiding. The streets and, like, things are very well taken care of. And I'm not sure if it has to do with, I know that, like, the mafia still exists in Sicily. The mafia comes from Sicily, and I know it still exists there and kind of, like, affects a lot of corruption and stuff like that. But one of the things that we notice is like the roads are not very well taken care of. Like, you'll be driving really fast, like 130 kilometers per hour. And then all of a sudden it goes down to 40 kilometers per hour and you have to like change lanes because I think they like block off a part to avoid there being like where there's a pothole, you know, in the road. So it's just like driving there was always crazy. And then kind of like people we just saw oftentimes would kind of do whatever they wanted. So it's like, you know, they'd cut right in front of you or they'd, you know, do really crazy things driving. So that was a stressful experience. A positive experience, of course, would be, I think, which is almost everywhere I've been in Italy, of course, is that you eat like spectacular food. I mean, just like everything, every single meal you have is just mind blowing.
Wow. Okay. So first, I actually want to know, like, can you give me some examples? I love Italian food so much. Can you tell me what you ate?
Yes. I'd be happy to. So one thing we really liked that's a typical pasta dish from there is called pasta alla Norma, which is named after, I think, an opera singer or something like that, Norma. I saw the history somewhere, but now I don't remember, so don't take that as fact. But it's pasta with like a sauce that's made from fried eggplants and I'm trying to think what else is in it. But everything with tomatoes too there is incredible because they have like these really fresh tomatoes. And then they do like salted ricotta on top of it. So it's like a pretty simple sauce and everything, but it was everywhere we tried it. It was just mind-blowingly delicious.
So divine. Oh my gosh, I love Italian food. I'm always looking at like recipes that I can try, like simple simple pasta dishes. But yeah, I think it must
be. That's a good one, yeah. If you can get the salted ricotta, that's a good one to give a go.
All right. So the next question I have for you is, did you experience any problems with the language there? And do you have any funny stories to share?
Definitely had problems with the language there. I speak Spanish, I speak Catalan, which are both Latin languages. Italian is also a Latin language. I speak Portuguese. But then, of course, if people are speaking slowly, I can understand a lot. I can pick up like a lot of words and stuff and get the general context of what they're trying to say. But if there's two people speaking between themselves, I just hear like the music of it, like the brr, brr, brr. And speaking it, obviously, like, I pick up some words and stuff so I can communicate kind of basic things and need be, I'll just, you know, between body language and probably using like a mix between like the different Latin languages that I know can kind of get the meaning across. So we were in the south of the island and we went wandering for breakfast at a cafe. And my aunt, we ordered like coffees and croissants and stuff. And my aunt stayed there while like we went to the table and we thought that she paid. And then like the next day, you know, we're walking and we happen to walk past the cafe and they see us and then they come running out after us yelling like, you know, in Italian. And so basically the woman's saying in Italian and like this I could pick up, but she was saying like, you forgot to pay yesterday, you forgot to pay. And so like the misunderstanding was my aunt paid for her coffee, but she didn't pay for our like coffee and croissants that we got and stuff. So we're like, oh my God, so sorry and stuff. We'll pay now. But they thought we tried to skip out on the bill.
I want to ask you, okay, two questions. Okay, so the first thing, like obviously that was like, you know, like I wouldn't say embarrassing. It depends on like, was she shouting? Was she yelling? Was she angry? what was that like?
I think pretty quickly she understood that it was just like a misunderstanding, that it wasn't our intention to not pay.
Okay, that's what I thought. But I imagine that, you know, in that situation, what would you say? What advice would you give to someone who's in a similar situation? Like, how should they react to that? What did you do in order to sort of diffuse, that's the word I'm looking for, diffuse any problems from occurring? You know, because it is quite a difficult one because, you know, you're not speaking the language. You know, the person's angry. They're not sure whether you intended to skip out on the bill or not. So what can you do? What should you do when you're in that situation?
Yeah, I think in those kind of situations, it's always really important to be patient and give the person the benefit of the doubt on both sides. Because I think it is important that hopefully she gives the benefit of the doubt that it wasn't our intention to not pay, that we just forgot or there was a misunderstanding. And on our side, because too, I mean, any touristic place you go to, right, there's people who will try to take advantage of tourists and overcharge you or something like that. And which actually now I'm thinking of another story like that, that's kind of like the opposite of this. But, you know, just kind of like tried to be patient and listen to her and understand what she was saying in Italian and kind of pick out those key words that I could understand. And I think just to, it's really important, like with your body language that, you know, if she saw that I was getting defensive or something, that's something through body language you would very clearly understand. Or if you see that, you know, you're calm and you're listening and everything, it's like, okay, this person's probably not trying to, you know, to run off with without paying me or something like that.
Yeah. You used the word, well, I used it too. You said skip out. What does it mean to skip out on something?
Skip out on the bill. Yeah, that'd be like a good collocation as well. So that's basically when you leave a place without paying for the bill, paying for, you know, the what you owe for the services. Something very bad to do.
Definitely don't do it. So yeah, I wanted to ask you about the other story that you had.
So the last day we were there, we had to drop off the car at the airport, like at 9 a.m., but we didn't have our flight till 1 p.m. So we were planning to go into the city that's nearby and like hang out for a few hours and have lunch and stuff before our flight. And so we dropped off the car and then we got a taxi to go to the downtown. And like kind of a rule of thumb, when you're in a country where you don't really know the taxi, it's always important before you get in the car to say, you know, how much will it cost me to go to this place? Because usually they'll use a meter, right, to measure a taxi, kind of like measures based on the time and the distance. But it's very easy for a taxi driver to take advantage of someone who's not from there and doesn't know where they're going and things like this. So we asked that. He said 25 euros. So we're like, okay, that's seems like a fair price. And we get in the car with all of our luggage and everything. And we're just like pulling out of the airport. And I see like the meter's already at like 11 euros, which is like, that's really high. We like have barely gone anywhere. And, you know, I also had on the map on my phone, like kind of the route. And I noticed he was going a really roundabout route, not going like the one that Google was suggesting or even like close to that. And I was like commenting it with my family and stuff. And I think, you know, he could tell kind of like, cause I'm like looking at the map and whatnot. And then, also like my family, I was in the front seat, my family was in the back seat and the car was really hot, because it's summer and it's like 32 degrees or something like that outside. And so he said, can you put on the AC? It's really hot in the car. And he said, oh, you know, he says something in Italian, that I kind of like pointing to the meter. It's like, and then he turns on the air and we see like the price is going up higher and higher. It's already like past 25 and we're still not even anywhere close. And so like we're commenting about it and stuff. Like is he charging us for the air? And we're like, we're not gonna pay for the air, like saying in Spanish, like no pagaremos para el aire. And he understood that. And he like pulls over and stops and he says, like, if you're not gonna pay, like get out. And so like, you know, we got out. Got our luggage out and he pulled off and then we ordered an Uber, which was a much better experience. But yeah, that was a not positive misunderstanding. Funny in retrospect, but I don't know. Those kind of people who really try to take advantage of tourists, I think are the worst.
That is horrible. And like the weird part is like, who charges people for air? Like your car's hot. Why are you charging me? This is crazy. And so you were in a safe, at least you were in like a safe, you know, area. It wasn't like he like dropped you in the middle of the highway or anything.
We didn't know, but it looked safe enough. We didn't see any like anyone super sketchy, but it could have been like a sketchy neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah. What does that mean? What does sketchy mean, a sketchy neighborhood?
Sketchy is like unsafe or something that maybe gives you a bad vibe, a bad feeling.
Yeah, people could be sketchy. Areas could be sketchy. Yeah, just bad vibes.
Yeah, if a person's sketchy, it's like maybe you don't trust mm-hmm. them. They have something that gives you a bad feeling, right?
Yeah, that's terrible. I'm sorry you experienced that.
That's okay. It's a funny story in retrospect. It's just like in the moment that you're like, you know, feel like you're completely being taken advantage of just because you're not from there and what you don't speak the language and mm-hmm. whatnot.
I feel like when I was in Argentina, I obviously don't speak Spanish. I shouldn't say obviously, but sadly, I don't speak Spanish. So when I needed to buy like sandals, like I brought some like flip-flops and stuff, but I wanted a nice sandal. So I was like, okay, I'm just gonna go and walk the streets and find a place. And this guy tells me everything in the store is 10,000, is telling me.
10,000 pesos,
yeah.
Right?
So I'm like, yeah, yeah, okay, fine. I don't know if that's a lot or a little, but I'm thinking, like, if I convert it to South African rands, it's quite a lot for these kinds of sandals. It seems ridiculous to me. But I didn't know where else to go because I didn't want to walk around, like, because I was by myself. And I was like, I don't want to walk around too much. Like, I don't know where to go. And then I paid the 10,000 and... Then I met a nice girl and she showed me around and she spoke English. She's from Venezuela. We became like buddies and she showed me where to go. And I realized that he like more than doubled the price of that same shoe because I saw the same shoe in like other stores in the mall. And I was really sad because I felt like I was just an idiot. I was naive.
Yeah. It's just such a bad representation of your country too, to tourists, to just like leave them with a feeling that you completely... took advantage of their trust.
Exactly. All right. So before we get to the next question, because we have two more questions. But before we get to that, let's head on over to today's shout out. So today's shout out goes to Audrey, who says, "This is a crucial app for all English learners. I've been using this app for more than 6 months and then found myself head over heels with this one. This will definitely help you improve all the areas in your English skills. The listening to podcasts was not my cup of tea. I'm all about your podcast. Furthermore, since additional features have been added, this excellent app has become the icing on the cake. Wicked, mate. Thank you all for your effort. You all are lifesavers." Oh, yeah. Great.
Oh, there's a lot of great expressions there. And I wonder, too, if she lives, like, in Australia.
Yeah.
I think that'd be, like, quite Australian, right? Wicked, mate.
Yeah. I can't do an Australian accent. Wicked, mate. No, I can't.
I think to most Americans, probably couldn't tell the difference between a South African and Australian accent, sadly.
I think, you know... Ollie pointed out that, you know, South Africans sound more like New Zealanders. And I do agree with him. Like, it's the ten.
Because
the A sound.
The A sound.
Yeah, it's that.
Which I guess people could check out that video that we did, the One Language for Accents, which we can post in the show notes, which is pretty fun. So what does it mean, though, if you say, like, something's wicked? That's a slang phrase,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is a slang phrase. So literally, it means, like, evil, but in like slang it means something is awesome or like excellent.
Exactly, yeah. She's saying that that wicked mate would be like a nice colloquial. I think in the States you wouldn't hear that so much, but that's why it sounded really Australian to me. It would be like a colloquial way to say, you know, amazing.
Yeah.
Dude, amazing man.
I think like,
awesome. What we'd say, the American equivalent would be awesome. Dude,
awesome. Yeah, I feel like here, like, you might find people who are like surfers and more like hipsters would use the word wicked as a slang, you know, way of expressing themselves. But yeah, no, I don't know. I wouldn't hear it here.
But the most South African way of saying that would probably be lekker, right?
Yeah, lekker. Lekker, bro.
Lekker, mate.
Lekker, mate. Yeah.
Lekker, bro.
Lekker, bro.
Love it. So she also said that she's head over heels with the podcast. What does that mean?
So if you're head over heels about something, that it means that you like it very much, or if you're head over heels about someone, you are very much in love with them.
It's like, it's like you're upside down, right? You're tipsy turvy. You don't know which way is up.
Yeah, you're just so into that.
Crazy in love.
Yeah, into that person or thing.
So she said that the new features that we've recently added are the icing on the cake. What does it mean if something is the icing on the cake?
Yeah. So if you describe something as the icing on the cake, you mean that it makes a good thing even better. So she's saying that the app is great, but the new features, you know, improve it vastly, or, you know, improve it, make it even better than it was before.
Yeah, that is another great expression. So she's obviously been studying her idioms. And if you want us to shout you out, just like we have today with Audrey, then all you have to do is head over to wherever you're listening to this, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review. and that will help us to find you. Or if you are using the app, also like Audria's, then you could leave us a 5-star review on your favorite app store saying what you love about using the app or how it's helped you to improve your English. And the great thing when you do any of this is that you help more people to discover the podcast, discover the app, and take their English to the next level with us. And if you're not using the app yet, it's a really great way to take full advantage of these podcast lessons because you get full interactive transcripts, you get the vocabulary, and you can speak English anytime, anywhere that you have an internet connection at just the touch of a button. The app's already got an average rating of 4.9 stars on the Apple Store, and 1,000 new learners join every week. So go ahead and give it a go if you haven't. Just go over to your favorite app store and type in Real Life English, and it should pop right up.
Wicked, mate.
I know you're itching to ask me the last couple questions before we wrap up today.
All right, so the next question that I have for you is, what tips can you give listeners when traveling to a country where they don't know the language?
I guess I gave some before, but I think one of the biggest things is just to like be calm, relax, like in the situations, because in the case of Sicily, a lot of people do not speak English. So it's like most of the time, I had to try to, with very, very, very limited Italian that I know and other, you know, Latin languages I know, I had to try to communicate. And so I think it's just important in those situations to relax, to be patient. Maybe you have to say things many different times. You have to be creative. Think of different ways that you can say it. Think of different words you can use. Think of like, how can you express it through body language? Or is there like a image you could show on your phone or something like that? And in general, too, I've found that most people, they're very receptive. If you're trying, if they notice like you're trying to communicate, you're trying to use some words in the language. And something else I think is really important is when you, like, I'm a big proponent of this, that if you go to a country where you don't speak the language, just learn some basics, learn how to say like polite words, you know? So how do you say thank you? How do you say hello? How do you say goodbye? How do you do you speak English? Even because I think it's nice rather than just assuming everyone speaks English and just starting to speak English, it's nice to say like, you know, hello or good morning, good evening. And then they'll respond and then say, do you speak English? And, you know, that way, you know, you're not just assuming that they do. And if they do, then it's like, no problem. If they don't speak it so well, then you're also like kind of giving them the opportunity to not just feel like an ass that they can't like understand. They can't understand what you're saying in English. So I think that's always good practice. And just so you can always be like, if you're going to a restaurant, you can always say, you know, thank you and just be a polite person. And I think that it means like, even if you don't speak the language fluently, it means people are having a better interaction with you, right? There's that, I think it's Mandela, right? That said that we speak to a man in a language he understands that goes to his head. But when you speak to him in his language, that goes to his heart. So that's why I think it's really good just to like have some basics so you can speak to people in the language that goes to their heart.
This is so true. This is so true. I think people's faces light up when you connect with them and when they know that you're a foreigner and you're trying. So this is a very, very true point. Yeah.
There's a great saying that says, don't assume anything because it makes an ass out of you and me.
Don't assume.
The reason we say that is because the word assume is spelled A-S-S-U-M-E. So it's ass out of you and me.
The entire phrase is in that one word. what does it mean to assume?
So if you make an assumption or you assume something, you're just in your head already imagining the outcome before getting evidence of it. So if you assume someone speaks English, it's like you're just supposing that they speak English without actually getting some evidence, asking them, do you speak English? Like, especially in their language, do you speak English? Before just saying like, oh, I need help with blah, 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 blah. And then the person, you know, not understanding you maybe.
Exactly. And any other tips that you'd like to share?
So I think just like have fun with it. Like, it's not like a high pressure thing. Doesn't matter if you make a mistake, you'll never see this person again. But I I've also traveled a lot and I've learned several languages and stuff. So I generally enjoy learning a little bit about the language if I'm visiting some place, or even if I'm just like in my city and I meet someone from a country that I don't know the language, like maybe I'll ask them, you know, how do you say this in your language? How do you say it? Like maybe if we're having a drink and we're like doing a cheers, it's like, how do you say cheers in your language? You know, and like then you can like continue saying it throughout the night every time you have a drink or something like that. that's just one example, but it's like treat it kind of like something fun, like an activity, a skill to learn, a puzzle mm-hmm. to solve.
Very good advice. I think in general, like with English, with whatever language you choose to learn, I think you should make it fun. That's the key to enjoying it for as long as it takes for you to reach the level that you are aiming for. Okay, so the final question, Ethan. So if you could summarize your last trip to Italy in one sentence, what would you say?
That's a hard question. I probably would have to say like about Sicily, like something like, it's a crazy place, it's a beautiful place, and it has incredible food.
Crazy, beautiful, incredible food. Mm-hmm. I guess I imagine it as crazy. I know it's beautiful. I know the food's great, but I never thought of it as crazy. Now, after your story about the
the taxi driver and the driving there in general.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you, Ethan. I think that, you know, for the listeners and for myself, I think it was really informative and fun listening to you talk about your experience, your travels. And yeah, I feel like I've learned a couple of things, some good advice for anyone who's planning a trip or who's going to a country where they don't speak the language.
I hope people enjoyed listening to me recount my tales of woe and euphoria. So thanks so much for joining us this week, and we hope to see you again very soon. 1, 2, 3. Oh yeah. Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.